Do you remember earlier in the month I spoke to a local woman, Hilda Orr? She was so touched by the plight of refugees coming to, in particular, the general issue really upset Hilda, but she was particularly vexed by what she saw on the shores of Lesbos, the little Greek island that is actually pretty far away from Greece and over closer towards the Turkish coast and the Syrian coast. And a lot of refugees and people fleeing the difficulties there make first port or first target for Lesbos. Hilda basically decided, look, I'm getting up and I'm going to do something at my own expense to see what I can do to help. She's been there for a week now. Joins me on the line from Greece. And Hilda, I'm hoping the line is okay. Good afternoon to you.
Yeah, hi.
There's a bell. That's Skype. That's fantastic.
Pardon?
Is that we've got you clear as a bell. Hilda, how are you getting on?
Good. Good. Thanks. In a word.
Well, I'm imagining when, you know, you can see the TV and you can have the feelings and emotion and compassion, but what's it like actually getting your feet on the ground? What have you been up to?
Oh, you've no idea, Mark. To be honest, when I stepped into the camp that I had chosen to work in, I'm working with a group called Better Days for Moria. And I was actually supposed to be working with Lighthouse, but they're up at the north, and down in the south. I'm working in this camp, and this camp is, when I stepped in, it was just a rough piece of ground with mud and rocks and tents and people milling about, and it was just, I couldn't believe it. I thought, right, this must be leading into the camp. I couldn't believe that this was actually the camp. And so I've been working in the closed distribution tent mainly. And this is where they bus in the people who have come off the boats wet. Some of them have lost their shoes. Some of them are wet up to the neck. And they queue up, and we give them whatever donations of clothes that we have received. And we generally, it's socks and shoes and maybe a complete set of clothes.
And can the people, can they speak a smattering of English? Are you able to speak with them? What are they telling you?
Well, I speak a tiny bit of Farsi. It's Farsi and Arabic, mainly. Mm-hmm. And we do have, there is a shortage of translators. But no, we can communicate with them as regards just knowing what they want. But anything more than that, you know, we need a proper Arabic speaker and Farsi speaker.
See, Hilda, we fail to understand why. And you see these stories, you know, a father standing, he's lost five kids and his wife on a boat, a flimsy wee stupid boat that, you know, the first wave that got it in the open ocean, it overturned and they were all lost. It seems unspeakable. It seems beyond belief that people can't appreciate that strait of water is utterly, utterly treacherous. What are they telling you about why they're risking life and limb to get to your shore?
Well, the UN figures are that 93% of the people who come to Lesbos are from Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan and Pakistan. Now, three of those countries are at war. So the story after story I'm hearing is of bombings of people, of their losing their homes, of losing an uncle or losing a brother or a family member of some sort or even just a friend. Mm-hmm. So they're fleeing war. The majority are fleeing war. And if they're fleeing war, they want to get a far away from it as possible, to get into a country like Germany, which they see as the promised land. They believe that all the problems will be solved once they get to Germany. But they're clueless. To be honest, you know, they are totally clueless. For me, I might be one of the first Europeans they've ever set eyes on. Some of them, most of them have never been out of their country. And so when they see me talking to one person, they'll all crowd around and they'll ask, you know, what is Germany like? Which country should we go to?
Goodness.
Are the people nice there? You know, they're very vulnerable. They're very ignorant, really, of Europe. And you know, it's, I just feel, my heart goes out to them, to be honest.
Are you glad you went, Hilda?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think everybody who can should come here and see what's going on. You will not believe it. You'll seriously not believe it.
See, you're saying they're fleeing war. I would flee war. I mean, we had, you know, many people call it the dirty war here, the Troubles War. I mean, if suddenly the authorities, imagine Dublin or London had decided to deal with the UVF, the UDA or the IRA by dropping barrel bombs on Craigan or East Belfast. Yes. I mean, I would flee that. I'm sure you would. I understand where they're fleeing.
Absolutely. And I'm fleeing from even Turkey. They don't want to stay in Turkey. There's 1.5 to 2 million people across the Aegean Sea in Turkey. They don't want to stay there.
Why is that? Because a lot of people are critical of this. Maybe people who don't like seeing refugees in these numbers, Hilda, are saying, well, look, why don't they just go to their Arab mates over the border in Turkey where they're safe? Why do they have to, quote, you know, seek the good life up here with us? What would you say to them?
Well, I think in Turkey they're living in refugee camps, and these refugee camps are not good, to be honest. I mean, they must be bad if they would risk putting their families. They know the risks that is involved, and they're risking their families, their own lives to come across the sea. I've just come back from seeing two boats in. And these people, they got off the boat, they were shivering, they were wet, they were in such a state. And I'm thinking, what is it would make anybody want to get on that little rubber dinghy? There were about 50 people on the boat that holds about 20. Mm. You know, there's something across there that is making them not want to stay.
I'd love to see some of these people. I'd love to get the people trackers on one of their boats and say, right, away you just go. You just have a go. Go on, you try and go and get to Italy. I'd love to see.
They don't go in the boat.
No, they just leave you in charge of the tiller and say, oh, well, there you are. My job is done, you know.
They appoint a refugee to steer the boat. They point them in the general direction and say, away you go. And I could tell you story after story of that boat journey.
How many arrivals have you seen in your short time?
Oh, thousands.
What?
Thousands? Arrivals in the boats, no. I have only been, this is my first day down the boats.
Okay.
And I'll be spending the night there.
Are you sleeping? What are you sleeping? Is there hotels for you guys, or what are you sleeping in?
Oh, gracious, no. Well, I got an Airbnb, which I'm sharing with other volunteers.
All right, Airbnb.
And it's very basic.
Isn't that interesting? We report on Airbnb. You've got to tell the person who owns the Airbnb they might have to pay their taxes on it. We were reporting that. It's taxable income, you know. Hilda, on a more serious note, I mean, obviously, the aid agencies there, are they coping? And it must be the most frustrating of things, because I can see this absolutely from all these various perspectives. At the end of the day, of all these countries that you've described, you know, your Syria and Afghanistan, mm-hmm. I mean, if they're fundamentally not functioning, you can well understand why people would be leaving in their thousands, but it creates all these issues, and you're only too aware of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, you asked if the aid organisations are coping. Where I am, we've got the UNHCR compound, but they are not adequately resourced to cope with the influx of people that comes there. You see, where I am is a place where all the refugees that come to Lesbos have to come to register. So we have thousands arriving there, mm-hmm. And they're supposed to be housed there, but they don't have enough accommodation, they don't have enough of the basic resources, basically. So we are taking the overflow in Better Days for Moira, and we accommodate them. We have to accommodate them in tents. We provide their sleeping bags and all of that sort of thing. So, no, there's a very big gap in the provisions as regards the agencies, the government agencies.
I'm just thinking you're probably one of the very few dairy women to speak Farsi. I'm sure they're wondering what Irish and you're speaking of. I'm sure they probably note that. Maybe that's the last thing they're thinking about, actually. They're in this kind of state of distress. I was looking at your Facebook diary, Hilda. You describe broken, vulnerable, anxious people lacking in any knowledge of Europe in general. People fighting back tears as they spoke. You would have to see it to believe it. I will buy tickets to Athens to donate money for an Afghan family I discovered sleeping by the harbour in the freezing cold. Two-man tent, two toddlers. Hilda, do you appreciate, though, I mean, if Syria is being absolutely emptied of its population, of its young family, they're talking about a lost generation there. I mean, that country is in serious difficulty for generations to come. They're losing their doctors, nurses. But do you also appreciate the difficulty, comparatively speaking? Mm-hmm. We're not suffering difficulty sitting and listening to this today, anything like what they're suffering in Syria. But the difficulty that the numbers are presenting for the Western democracies, the people are fearful. Look, the society will be fundamentally changed if tens or hundreds of thousands of these people come at established democracies with their established cultures and their established identities. Do you appreciate that?
Yes, of course. Of course, but what can we do? I mean, they're fleeing war. They're going to come, and I believe that we need to give them a safe passage throughout Europe. At the minute, they're like I say, they're very vulnerable people, and we need to do. They're human beings at the end of the day, and they're not just coming. People are afraid to talk about all these young fighting men who are coming to Europe. These are working, a lot of them are working people who can boost the economy and a lot of them, I have spoken to, are professional people.
Yes, but I mean, there will be fighters who abuse it, and the right-wing press will always seize on the one guy who makes it to Paris and picks up a gun. You know, given the extent of the fighting going on, if hundreds of thousands are leaving, it's inevitable that some of the combatants will make their way into the boats to Lesbos.
Yes, of course. But they've got to be treated properly. You know, these people are refugees, the majority fleeing war. They have to be, the European Union has to get together. They have to ensure that they have safe passage without discrimination at every point throughout Europe until they reach their chosen destinations. This has got to happen. You cannot treat people the way they're being treated. Mm. In some places.
Very interesting to see our colleagues in Radio 4 tweeting. What a change from UKIP. UKIP spokesperson Stephen Wolfe says that immigration is good, but the UK needs a managed and controlled system. Does what you observe there every day strike you, Hilda, as managed and controlled?
Not at all. Britain is on the NGOs and the grassroots voluntary organisations, of which there are a lot here in Lesbos, and we're doing our best. And it's the burden is also on the people of Europe who are donating, the kindness of the people of Europe and the people of Lesbos here, who have been incredible to help and support these people. And they're reaching out with love and compassion to them. But it's not, you know, it's not enough. For a start, the bombing has got to stop. The governments have got to get together. They've got to start looking at these people as people and not just commodities or whatever.
Davy emails me as you speak, Hilda. Davy McCauley, but well known as a campaigner, political small p political voice down the years. Hilda is an inspirational lady, says Davy. All the best to her in Lesbos. We need to support people like Hilda in the crucial humanitarian work she does, and we need to provide the warmest welcome possible for refugees when they arrive on these shores. Not everybody sees it like that, of course, Davy. Of course, Hilda. You live in a real world like the rest of us. People, basically, you're one of those beings, aren't you, that people just hand £20 and say, put that to the work.